soon offering.
You keep saying that.
I know. You want your little thing?
I don't want to turn on the light.
Yeah. The disposition and where the blood went, we didn't spend enough time on it. Until the blood, well, it's until you see it, but until the blood in the type, the blood, if the blood wasn't first, whatever the blood wasn't on, was unapproachable. You couldn't go near it. So, including whether it's the brazen altar or the golden altar or the candlesticks or the table of showbread or the veil, you couldn't go near it unless the blood had been sprinkled. No one could.
And that's like Passover when the blood on the doorpost, God respects that totally.
When there's no apprehension of the blood, then communion is halted. And whenever communion or oneness is a better word, is interrupted, then for whatever reason, then the sense of the human is that God has forsaken you. And that is critical in terms of how we conduct our lives. Because we know that the moment, we know from all kinds of places that once, well, let's go there real quick. Ezekiel 8. It's to see that he is your life, your only self. And that's a little different way of saying it, but it's critical. Because otherwise you still think of yourself as a separate being that can do good or evil. And so it's critical that you see the oneness. But here's what happens. Every time that that communion or oneness with God is interrupted, and here's what happens. Verse 12, Ezekiel 8. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery or his imagination. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. So once you have a sense of the loss of oneness with God, then instantly you don't say the words, but your sense of being is that God has forsaken you as the earthen vessel. And so you have to return to the familiar. You return to the high places. You return to the cause and effect. You return to all these things that are common that are not of faith. Now, sometimes if it hasn't been apprehended in the first place, you don't even realize it. You're so used to no communion that everything that you do is based on God has forsaken the earth, he's coming back someday, and I'll see it then. But now I have to continue to live as a Gentile. Is that understandable? And it's critical because it affects everything that you do, everything. It affects all of us because it's heresy to believe that leaning on your own arm of understanding is faith. That going back to cause and effect is faith. That returning to the high places of your mind for solutions is faith. None of those are faith.
Oh, you're saying faith?
Faith.
Faith. Faith leading on your own arm of understanding.
They're not.
It's no faith. But people think it's faith because they somehow put God's name on it. So so you return to all these creeping things that we've read so often. We return to Jezaniah, son of Saphon. We return to holding the censer in our own hand and letting all these guys in our Jerusalem now is have their voice and options, and it's all no faith. All no faith. The question is, have you been placed in a position where your daily activities have where you've seen that even the very minutest detail of your daily activities must originate in faith? Now, to originate in faith doesn't mean putting God's name on cause and effect. It doesn't mean putting God's name on the high place activity. You know that you're screwing up spiritually if you are still doing what every Gentile would do. Just as if you esteem what every Gentile esteems, you know you're esteeming the wrong thing. But all of this has to do with your understanding. In fact, I would rather say for most, their sense of union and oneness comes only in some kind of arena where there is music and the crowd activity, and then you fall into this group think. And you confuse it with the anointing. And you say that's the oneness. That's as much as you can know about oneness. And if that's all you know about oneness, if that's all you've apprehended about the sin offering and the other offerings, so you're really feeding off other people. You're eating on the table that's full of vomit. Does that communicate? What?
I'm trying to relate to that experience, and I can't. I don't think that I've had it.
Oh, group think?
You ever been to a concert?
Well, sure, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, we are.
It's the same thing as in a... Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's the idea that if you've ever been into a charismatic crusade with Benny Hinn or one of these guys, there's it's very carefully orchestrated, so it's the right music and it's the right lighting.
I know that.
Okay, but my point is this: that's the only time they have a sense or a feeling of oneness with God.
But yeah, I thought you were talking to me, and I'm trying to relate that.
No, I'm talking to. All right, I'm speaking in general terms.
That's what propelled me. Place, and that was the one thing that forced me to continue. That to me was what life was.
What was it that you felt at a rock concert that you can equate to Benny Hinn's Crusades or something?
Exact same experience at when there was like 100,000 people all worshiping at the altar of Janis Joplin, and they had reached an Adamic high that was palpable, electric.
Yeah, it was also marijuana.
And marijuana. Doesn't matter what the source was, it was there, and it felt real. It seemed like there was total oneness in that place. At a Benny Hinn concert, it's the same thing. They're preaching
Crusade.
Jesus, or they could be preaching Buddha. But they get the crowd pulled together in that state, and it feels like perfect oneness. And that's one of the best feelings you can ever have.
I think another analogy would be mob mentality.
And you're just a tool. Well, it only comes through that generated force of music and drugs and whatever generates it.
Well, it can be generated without. It can be generated in a thousand ways, and but that's not the issue. The issue is that if your apprehension of this mystery of God in the sin offering, that will be your one sense of oneness, even though it is phony. It'll be a sense of oneness, and you long for that.
Are you talking the real thing or the fake thing now?
They're both the same thing. If it's done by crowd and music, it doesn't matter whether you're in Jesus' name or Buddha's name or Janis Joplin's name. It's a sense of oneness, a sense of purpose, a sense of unity, a sense of excitement. That's the sense, that oneness sense is what we have available at all times. Because Jesus Christ in us, the only hope of glory. But we say, Benny, for instance, says that that's the only place that there is the anointing. And he confuses the anointing with mass hypnosis. And so when he was challenged by that Australian 60 Minutes program to do something, I forgot what he said, but he said, no, I can't because the anointing isn't here. Well, my point of it is, there's a way in which we can know that sense of oneness at all times. And it's once we have seen that the sin offering has gone to every level. It's gone from the brazen altar, it's gone to the candlestick, it's gone to the golden altar, it's gone to the table of showbread, it's gone to the veil. And then, because it's in the day, it's into the Holy of Holies. It's on the mercy seat. And that's our permanent, permanent residence. Now, in your case, I know, because we've been together for so long, even when we were doing things, you longed for that feeling that was duplicate, that you had, whether it is at a rock concert or a Christian concert.
That was success to me.
That was the meaning. Right. That was. Yeah. But my point is, it's.
Integrity told me that if it could only happen if there were music, drugs, crowds, da 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 da, then it wasn't really real.
Right.
But it was an anti-type, and instead of picture.
Right. And so what, again, this is the picture of this, the whole mystery of everything we're talking about. You have a taste of that, and that's what you want. And you don't understand you, not you, but you corporately, we don't understand that that oneness and that certainty and that escape from quote-unquote reality is our heritage.
This is great, and it goes back to the blood. Without the blood,
you can't.
It doesn't. It's not real.
No, because the moment there is a test, there's suffering, there's the trial of faith, then if it's not real, that sense of oneness goes away.
And you revert back.
You revert back to your own understanding. Now, my point is that that is the reason you do that is you really return to your own imagination. And that because you say the Lord has forsaken the earth, so I've got to do something else. That's the reason, again, there's a study in England that of these crusades that they have the same withdrawal as they do from drugs. They, after 3 or 4 days, they have to have it again, and so they start planning to go to the next one. And so it is that feeling is probably an epinephrine experience. That's generated by the own our own body chemicals. They confuse that with God. But that confusion shows us a parable. It shows us a picture that we can be in that state of permanent oneness, no matter what the pain, no matter what the suffering, no matter what, even to the standpoint of while you're being stoned or crucified or hung upside down or thrown. That's our heritage.
That brings new meaning to the sin offering lies at the door.
Right. The very first thing, the very first crime in history. Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not, the sin offering lieth at the door. Even at the very first, when God didn't accept Cain's offering.
And self is so prideful and overriding that rather than humble yourself and take God's offering, you say, I'm too bad, or I can't, that's too great a crime to be.
Well, this was before he killed his brother.
I thought it was after.
No. It was when
the countenance fallen.
Because his offering wasn't accepted.
Yeah. No, it was because he killed his brother.
But his brother's was accepted. Now, again, if we go back to the beginning, Eve had to eat the apple first, because then Adam had the opportunity to exhort her to repent.
What did he say to do that?
He didn't.
Oh, yeah.
He ate the apple too.
Right. But I thought you were.
No, I'm saying he could have said, he could have exhorted her and not eaten the apple.
Uh-huh. He could have.
And as a covering,
then it was fine.
It worked. It's like men.
But more importantly, Christ is our covering as the bride. But when we start to apprehend the access that we have boldness not to just enter the throne of grace, we have boldness to live in the throne of grace. Never leaving it. Never being nothing, draw you aside. Nothing can get your attention away from the mercy seat. And this is what our heritage is. This is what our. But it all has to do with your apprehension of where the blood, because it's all done. Everything is done. All of us can live there. That's a permanent dwelling place. But if we're honest with ourselves, many of us, most of the time, live on the earth. We're still living in time and space. Because we feel we have too much to lose. Whether it's material, whether it's family, whether it's ideas, whether it's opinions. But therefore, we can, when we are in that place, is God still there? But our apprehension, therefore our joy and our constancy is like boom, 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 boom. Because we're still double-minded. Does that communicate? All right. Now, in the higher classes of the offering, the sin offering, the offerer is seen to kill the victim. Of the last three, the priest kills. And then the last one, the priest kills, and the last one, there's no death because it's just fine flour. In the lower classes, the priest does everything. The offer is scarcely seen. In the higher classes, the offerer does almost everything. And what you have to believe, I want you to see this. Now, this kind of puts the coda on it. The offer sets Christ before us in his person. The priest represents him in his official office as mediator between God and man. And the sacrifice represents him in love. But the offer, the sacrifice, who's doing everything, is him in his person. And when you see that, then you finally understand that it's Christ in us, the only hope of glory. And the more of that you see, the less of you. You must decrease until there is nothing but a vessel, and all is him. And I'm sorry to keep using this word, but it's only rebellion that keeps us from that heritage. And the rebellion is, well, I've got something to do here, and I've got to do it.
Well, rebellion is your survival instinct, where it kicks in at this smell of death when you see that you're going to not be a part unless you die. Then.
Right. So you just what that does is it keeps you. It keeps you, Christ is, and even down to the extent you're still in the world. But you know the sacrifice has happened because of blood offering, but you know it's just sort of everything is going to be in the future. Yeah. So I'm left here to live my life. That's and then if you see a little farther down and a little farther down, because it's the trek from the first Passover in Jerusalem, in Egypt, to permanent home in the mercy seat. Now that trek will take you that long. Boom. If there's no rebellion. Now, again, so the point of that deal is where Christ is all of them are seen, and in the offer, he is Christ is seen to kill the offering. That is, Christ is seen in the person of his own will, laying down his life. No man taketh it from me. Now that's what the meaning of love is. This is why in that apprehension, there's no hesitation. Herein is the love of God perceived, that we lay down our life for the brethren. There's no more you in the picture. It has nothing to do with you as you after the flesh. It only is a thing about what you've seen of him. Can you see why the apprehension is so important? And the apprehension comes only by repentance.
And if you seek to save your life,
huh?
If you seek to save your life, you lose it.
Where the identity of the offering, when the identity of the offerer is unseen or disregarded in that chart, the priest is seen to kill the victim. Christ's death is seen as the work of the mediator and is seen only as his job as priest rather than his person as the willing offerer. So with us, where there is limited apprehension, little is known of the person of Christ save his office. He himself, his blessed person, is overlooked, or but little seen. We don't really know, as he is in this world, so are we. And it's never anything to do, it's always repentance. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. We saw what that meant with Christ talking to the disciples that believed on him, Jews that believed on him. He pushed them to the edge of the cliff. They went from believing on him, being his disciples, in like 10 minutes, they were all wanted to stone him. And that's what he did in those 4 days. From the day he entered Jerusalem, he was praising. People laid down their coats and put palm branches at his feet. And hallelujah, they even sang the Psalm 118, which was illegal because you're only supposed to sing that in the temple. But they sang it because they knew, or thought they knew, that they were in the presence of Messiah. 4 days later. 4 days later. Every single one of them either was silent or yelled, "Crucify him." Can you see how he had to push the flesh to the final? He had to push you to the point of only him. He alone is your life. He alone is your only self. But it's so necessary in our minds that we hold on to and we continue to do this or that. What's going on, Gary? Your wheels are really turning.
I was thinking about you dying. And what I think about you. Probably a little abstract in this context. What your righteousness is, which is the covering of Christ and the work that you've done and do. And you're one of the most aggravating people I've ever met, on the other hand. And it's like that goes away in the sense of who you really are and what you've done and what your focus is. And all that you've given in your teaching.
But it's only him.
It brings me to tears. I know that. That's what I see. not an unpleasant thing. And I don't think of myself any different. My death is not that big a deal to me.
No, mine is not that big a deal. Yeah, I long
so,
for.
So I'm comfortable talking about it. So, but all these things that are being uncovered and exposed, and the seeing and the continual revelation.
Amen. O Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. He's everything. We didn't finish. Anybody else?
Tomorrow I'd like you to talk about you can only apprehend by repenting.
Okay.
That seems backwards. You're only able to repent when you understand the necessity of it, or something like that. I can't get through that.
Okay. Remember to ask me, or I'll forget. Because I'm old. I'm not getting old right now. Come to the conclusion that I am old.
You're there.
Take it, big guy.